It's been called Britain's Guantanamo Bay.
It looks forbidding and it looks grim. It looks like some kind of bunker.
This concrete fortress in southeast London is Her Majesty's Prison Belmarsh. It's home to Britain's most dangerous criminals.
Either side of me at one point were two gangland killers serving 38 years each for executing people.
Belmarsh incarcerates drug barons, murderers, and terrorists.
Dangerous individuals. Make no mistake about it.
Clever, manipulative men, capable of escape and shocking acts of aggression.
You've got to remember that desperate people do desperate things.
How do the guards keep violent criminals under control?
The inmates are under a lot of pressure in these places. You know, you've got to be a human being and not be a thug.
And what's it like to do time in Britain's toughest prison?
Someone just walking out of their cell and stabbing you for no reason, that happens.
Along the corridors of Belmarsh, the prison has another name.
It's actually known as Hellmarsh.
We're exposing what life's really like inside Belmarsh. Belmarsh in southeast London is Britain's most secure prison. Built in 1991 for over £100 million, it houses our most dangerous criminals, known as Category A's. Multi-millionaire drug barons with global crime empires. Policemen who've turned into killer terrorists who've created slaughter on Britain's streets. And former armed robbers like Noel Razor Smith.
Since the age of 14, I've been a criminal. I classed myself as a professional criminal in those days. And I ended up appearing at the Old Bailey, and I was given 8 life sentences under the Two Strike Act and 8 lots of 10 years, which made me a Category A prisoner and sent me to Belmarsh.
A Cat A prisoner is defined as a major risk to society. The first challenge is to stop them escaping, and Belmarsh is built for purpose.
People think that you're on the wing, you break out the wing, so now you're out the wing, and then you run over and throw a rope up the wall or the fence. It isn't like that at all. If you actually break out your cell, you're then in a fenced off yard. And if you get through that fence, you've got another 6 or 7 fences to get to before you even get to the wall, the main wall. And the main wall has an anti-grapple dome around the top of it, so you can't even throw a grappling hook up there. It's got helicopter wires everywhere. You can't land a helicopter there.
Belmarsh is designed to be 100% escape-proof, and for good reason. Category A's are no ordinary prisoners, as the Belmarsh officers know only too well.
Cat A's. The intelligent level goes up a notch, generally, when you're dealing with lifers, long-termers. These are not your I can't read and write people. These are, you know, I can fashion an escape. I could really, you know, work out intricate systems and stuff. You know, they've got a lot of them, and not all of them, but a lot of them are clever fellas.
If a Category A prisoner did escape, I'd be collecting my P45. That's how serious it is.
Former drug baron Andrew Pritchard was sent to Belmarsh after police found £1 million worth of cocaine in the boot of his car.
Best part of my life, I was an organised criminal, okay? I chose that life. It was my choice, okay? And I would do whatever I could to manipulate the situations. And the more I'd done that, the better criminal in my mind it made me.
From the moment an inmate arrives, the security is extreme. Even Andrew wasn't prepared for the Belmarsh welcoming party.
You're boarded, so you're taken off of the Cat E van. You're followed by an officer with an Alsatian dog on a lead. You're what they call double shanked. So if you've ever seen the Frankenstein films, where you've got this huge kind of cuff, that's the first handcuff, which is called a Frankenstein cuff, and that's attached to you there, onto an officer. Then you're handcuffed here to yourself, so it's double cuffed. One officer walks in front of you, one officer you're handcuffed to, one officer has the dog, the other officer has your kit.
Kevin Lane was found guilty of a gangland murder and was deemed the highest possible escape risk.
I was on remand for contract killing. So they said that I had contacts and a wealth of money and associates that would mount an armed escape.
Kevin fought for his innocence, travelling back and forth from Belmarsh to court.
When you're driven back through them gates, back into the prison, to the bleeding helicopters and the lights and all the noises and the doors slamming, you think, I am in trouble here.
Ex-boxer Pete McDonough was held as a Cat-A on a murder charge before proving his innocence.
I was in the wrong place at the wrong time and ended up going to court in the Old Bailey and then was transferred to Belmarsh High Security Prison. Just remember getting there, going in the holding cells. I remember trying to open the door of the holding cell. Straight away, people realised then that I'd never been to prison before because every door in the place is locked. All the feelings leaving me, realising that I'm going to be spending my first night in Belmarsh.
On arrival, every prisoner is strip-searched.
The biggest part of being strip-searched is they take your dignity, so they take everything away from you and realise that you've got no more control, that they're taking control of you.
Belmarsh is cleverly designed to minimise the risk of violence. There are four house blocks, each with four spurs that can be quickly isolated and locked down.
It is meant to prevent large groups of prisoners kind of mixing in an unstructured way, where you might then see violence and bullying break out.
Each house block becomes home to new inmates for many years to come. And Belmarsh is a scary place, even for the hardest men. Accused of hosting online articles in support of the Taliban, Barbar Ahmed was held in Belmarsh and other UK prisons for 8 years without trial, while fighting extradition to the USA.
Just the echoes of metal against metal, you'll hear those echoes all day and all night.
Moazzam Beg was imprisoned in Belmarsh for 7 months on terrorist-related charges, which were later dropped.
You are now essentially in the closest thing that you could be to a grave, to a coffin. And you've got to start now thinking about, well, what if I don't make it out of this place?
There's no more laughs. My face is just granite from the minute I get into prison. So you put on this personality that says, leave me alone.
Separating Cat A's is key to controlling them. They never share a cell.
You're putting intelligent men with not a lot to lose in one area, and they're going to do something, aren't they? Eventually, something's going to go.
If you've got two category A's in a cell together, determined to get out, it's more dangerous than having one, according to the prison system.
Cat A's aren't allowed to get comfortable. They're regularly shifted from cell to cell without warning.
They strip you off in a cell. You put your clothes back on, they take you out, they put you into another locked cell with nothing in it.
A special team called the DST, the Dedicated Search Team, inspects each cell. Prisoners call it being spun.
They went around in sort of paramilitary uniforms with their trousers tucked into their boots and that. And, you know, when they came on a wing, it was like, oh, Jesus Christ, someone's getting spun.
They were specialists at searching cells. And there is an art to searching a cell. Okay, but they were really good at finding the hiding places.
They spend 2 or 3 hours stripping your cell, and they've got a box of tools where they can take apart the beds. Every bit of furniture can be taken apart. They were hated by everybody.
They just try and make it awkward for you. They'd spin your cell, throw your cell up in the air, so you might get that at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Somebody found a bar of soap with a key impression in it. That obviously resulted in a lockdown, and that's changed all the locks in the prison, so just in case.
Whenever a Cat A prisoner leaves the cell block, an officer monitors every move. It's known as being on the book.
You'd move them like a registered letter, if you like. So if I was taking him to a visit, right, and your visit staff, I would have him on the book, he'd have his name and everything, and I've already signed it that he's my property, and then I would pass him on to you, and now he's yours.
The tough regime for Cattes means there's no way out. And with that comes an ugly problem. When Britain's most violent men realise there's nowhere to turn, they turn on each other. Assaults in Belmarsh are on the increase.
If you put four or five rats in a shoebox and hold them there over a fairly limited period, by the end of that period, they'll all be fighting. And it's pretty much the same thing. It's an oppressive atmosphere. It has a well-deserved reputation for being a violent place.
It's not like it's a little fight and you've got a problem with someone and you're not going to see them again. When you're doing a 30-year sentence or 40-year sentence, you're going to be bumping into the same person. You've got an issue, you have to deal with it. And that will result inevitably in serious injury or death.
The most dangerous time is when Cattes mix with other inmates on the spur.
You actually had a pool table on the lifers' wing in the centre of the spur, and somebody kicked off, say, we've got the pool cue, and started throwing pool balls up at the office and at the screws, and eventually they locked everyone up, come in and got him. The showers is always a bad place to get done, stabbed or whatever. The showers are a very dangerous area. Exercise yard as well. If there's enough people on the exercise yard, you can get away with quite a lot.
When violence erupts with Cattes, Belmarsh has a major problem on its hands.
I've seen a guy get his throat cut on the waiting for the phone queue, you know, because someone's frustrated. People get very frustrated and angry very easily, but violence is the biggest, way to release that.
To maintain control, officers must stop violence the moment it starts.
In a way, a prison officer is like a parent. And if you relinquish control to the kid, you've lost the house, haven't you?
There are some people that don't want to listen, they just do want to have a fight. And in them instances, sometimes you know straight away with a bit of experience when it's going to kick off and when it's not.
It's a very macho environment. And because of that, you get all sorts of violence and you get all sorts of mad people. You defend yourself in the best way you can. Normally with it's various different weapons in prison.
Weapons are always available, aren't they? Let's face it. You got a pen, OK? You got a chicken leg, you make a bone out of it, you sharpen it, you stick it in someone. But a metal tray, mate, which they used to have, metal tray, slice your bloody head off.
Belmarsh is Britain's highest security prison. Its job? To keep the country's most dangerous criminals safely behind bars.
I think the security systems that they have at Belmarsh exceeded any that I had seen before. You know, you basically couldn't move without an escort.
Famed for being escape-proof, there is one chink in the prison's armour, transporting prisoners to and from court.
That's where the weakness, that's where the weak spots are, and they know those weak spots. And so they could fashion an escape. Two did in Belmarsh while I was there. And these two inmates got out of a secure van and ran through the streets of Bermondsey. A high-level Category A. They caught them, but one held a knife, held a blade to my mate's throat.
Today, the security is foolproof. Woolwich Crown Court, adjacent to the prison, became operational in 1993. The two are linked by a fortified underground tunnel.
It's not done for show. It's done because there's genuine concerns and fear that the people who are being brought to court are serious risks to the public and they will do anything.
The tunnel was a trip I had to make every single day while I was on trial. It takes you under the bowels of the prison. Then there are a series of automatic gates which officers were escorted with you.
Since the tunnel was open, no one has managed to break free. But keeping violent criminals under lock and key is a dangerous job. In the last 2 years, there have been at least 180 assaults on staff.
Colleagues of mine were assaulted, and very badly assaulted as well. And it's happening a heck of a lot more. In fact, a friend of mine that I work with, he's had three lots of boiling water thrown over him.
I was assaulted, so it's one of them things. It's part of the job. I had a kickboxer kick me in the Azure Farms. so you're just part of the job. You just got to, it's what you're there to do. You've got to take the punches now and again.
Principal officer in charge of the wing pulled me to one side one day and he said, I'll give you a little bit of advice. In here, the customer's always wrong.
Inmates say the violence goes both ways and is often sparked by aggressive guards.
I've actually been beaten by gangs of prison officers myself. I've had prison officers come into my cell with a knotted bed sheet and threatened to hang me so I'd be just another prison suicide.
So when I was threatened by staff, for instance, I would hit them. I said, don't threaten me, because I won't suffer it. And they said, that's all right, we like violence. And next thing you know, the bell's gone off, someone's asleep on the floor, and I'm getting bent up and taken to the strip cells. Was I the problem? Or was the problem there already? It was definitely there already, because I did not go looking for trouble.
It can easily look as if officers are using excessive force, but it often takes three or more to safely subdue a prisoner.
It can look a very overuse of force because there's three onto one, but that is to protect the prisoner, one each arm and one to protect the head.
Belmarsh has come in for a lot of criticism over the use of force. Officers are meant to record violent encounters on personal body cameras. But a 2021 report by Her Majesty's Chief Inspector of Prisons found this didn't always happen.
For me, it was just something heavy hanging off your shirt. It was a bit of a nuisance, really. But I'm only there for the protection of everyone. I suppose they are a good idea in this day and age. But for me, you didn't need them years ago, so do you really need them this time around? Not so sure.
If I had a body cam on, I'd be using it because it would be in my interests to use it. Quite often, prisoners say things that aren't true, and if you've got the evidence there, they've got nowhere to hide.
What's clear is that guards in Belmarsh are at constant risk of attack by its violent Cat A inmates. Ex-boxer Kevin Lane was notorious.
I went on escort one day and some threats were made against me from a prison officer, threatening to kill me. He said, if we ever get you here, Lane, we'll kill you. We'll take these cuffs off, we'll have a chat about it. The cuffs come off during the search procedure. He wants me to stand there like a performing clown, lifting up my bleeding feet, showing him my palms and my feet. I've taken my clothes off over 10 times that day, in and out of court. It went off. I ended up knocking him spark out.
As a prison officer in Belmarsh, is there any way to avoid assaults?
Your first route is to just talk it down and see if you can resolve the situation. But there are some people that don't want to listen. They just do want to have a fight.
Charles Bronson, Britain's most violent prisoner, has been held in Belmarsh on more than one occasion.
Charlie Bronson had to be unlocked with six members of staff.
Originally convicted for armed robbery, he spent most of his adult life in prison. Bronson has assaulted both fellow prisoners and more than 20 officers.
There are some people you're just not going to break. Well, he's one of them.
George's boss at Belmarsh came up with a plan to handle Bronson. Wear him out.
Do circuits with him, take him for weights, take him for outside sports and things like that. He said, let's keep him busy. And Charlie is a man who feeds off respect. We respected him, respected his space, respected his parameters, respected him as a man, and we got the same back from him. And that's why he never kicked off with us.
You do have that staffing inmate grid, but you do also see the good in the job, who do a lot for those that need it.
Kevin Lane crossed paths with Officer George Shipton many times and remembers him well.
Up for the crack, have a good laugh with him. He had a good sense of humour. Never anything about him that told you he was bent, as in, he'd do something he shouldn't be doing. Who can see things that are unjust and they don't like themselves. Become a good friend of George. He was a credit to the job.
The inmates are under a lot of pressure in these places. And you can make life easy for them as well. You can make life a bit nicer for them if you can. That goes a long way. So you've got to use the skills of what we're all born. We're all born with it. You know, you've got to use those skills and be a human being and not be a thug.
Officers in Belmarsh risk assault every day, but there's an even darker threat. Some prisoners pretend to form a friendship with guards, only to exploit them. It's called grooming, and is a growing problem nationwide. Nowhere are officers more vulnerable than when dealing with the criminal masterminds of Belmarsh.
think it's fair to suggest that some of those who are Category A prisoners are extremely, extremely manipulative, cunning, difficult, dangerous. And of course, the other thing that they've got is they've gotten a huge amount of time on their hands, and that gives them time to plot, to scheme, to look for vulnerabilities and weaknesses in individuals, to play games.
The whole prison needs to be aware of how grooming starts. And usually it starts by something very small. It might be, Gov, give us a fag. It might be, Gov, I've missed the post. Can you post this out on your way home?
If persuasion doesn't work on an officer, there are other ways of making them cooperate.
We do know, for example, that at a prison like Balmarsh, where you've got a lot of people with gang connections and some serious crime experience, that staff are at particular risk of being blackmailed, threatened, bribed.
A woman officer has a relationship with an inmate. All the inmate's got to do, unless he's really in love with her, is tell another inmate. The other inmate doesn't know what's going on. You know, you're bringing in phones for me now. And then suddenly you've got eight or nine guys who are all, you know, tapped into that one officer.
So one of the strategies that's used when working with very, very high-risk offenders is to not allow prison officers to serve in a post for too long. It's to move them from the role of working with high-risk prisoners to different wings, to different places within the establishment, or indeed to different prisons, so that they don't necessarily fall at risk of being conditioned or corrupted.
As grooming proves, many of Balmarsh Cat A's are clever and inventive criminals. Facing long stretches with plenty of time on their hands, they come up with ingenious ways to make life bearable.
Put human beings in a predicament where they've got nothing and they can't get nothing, and they'll manage to make something. You know, people will manage to make something out of anything.
Food from the prison canteen can get boring, so making snacks is high on the list of wants, and prisoners become expert at kettle cooking.
So people cook in the kettles, and how that works is people are quite, you know, clever. Sometimes they'll nick an onion or some fresh, you know, produce out of the kitchen, and you'd fry those up in the kettle with a little bit of oil. You know, you'd like, you know, mix up mackerel, tuna, and, you know, you'd basically do kettle cooking.
There used to be this older Canadian guy who was in prison for attempted robbery or something. And I remember one day he smuggled a packet of chilies. He smuggled these chilies in his underpants and brought them in that way. But, you know, mercifully, they were in a packet. And he said, look, I've got this and we can make something really nice. Just this tiny, small act of charity just to bring a bit of spice into my life.
Real inventiveness is saved for illicit alcohol. Cat A prisoners in Balmarsh have become expert at home brewing.
There's always a will, there's a way, like The Great Escape and so on and so forth.
We had a guy in the kitchen who used to steal raw rice or potatoes or, you know, any kind of fruit. And what you do is chop them all up, put warm water in, pour that in, just break up a loaf of bread into this bucket, cover it over, seal it all up.
You've got to feed it like a baby, keep it warm, and it'll grow up to be big and strong.
You have to keep tending it. It's a work of art. And you have to keep it down as long as you can. And keeping it down means keeping it hidden. One of the tricks we used to do in Balmarsh was on the bathroom on each wing, go to the top one and just write out a note saying, out of order, works department coming to fix soon. Stick it on the window and then fill up a bath with water, put your hooch in there, loads of buckets, cover it over with sheets. It'd be like a sauna in there. They'd see the notice and they'd think, ah, that's it, you know what I mean, it's out of order. When your hooch is ready to go, you'd take down your notice and then get the screw to open the door and say, I want to go in, and you go in and get your hooch.
They're fantastic at hiding things. They're superb at it. And you hold your hands up in admiration sometimes. That's ingenious, you know, how have you done that?
And believe me, when you're dancing and the screws are going mental, how have they done it? Hey, you think, yeah, well off. Well done, lads.
Her Majesty's Prison Balmarsh in southeast London is known to prisoners as the UK's toughest jail. has been home to Britain's most dangerous criminals, men like Grindr Killer and Stephen Port, and Britain's most violent prisoner, Charles Bronson. In Belmarsh, violence is an accepted part of daily life.
Violence. So the prison system breeds violence.
Guards constantly battle to control the volatile Category A inmates. The ultimate punishment is a visit to solitary confinement in a segregation unit that takes up to 18 prisoners.
Some of the cells in there are a lot less kitted out. Some cells will have nothing in them. Some cells will just be padded for their own safety.
You'll be held in that cell to demoralise you, weaken you.
Soon after I went in, somebody had given me a couple of joints, a mate of mine from outside, and I smoked them, and then I got called down for a piss test, a mandatory drug test, and it came back positive. The governor said to me, I'm giving you 7 days solitary confinement. He said, with no radio, no books, and nothing else. So I said, governor, I said, not even a book. He says, you can have a copy of the Bible. So I went, in a rage, I went, I don't want your Bible. So I've gone in, they've slammed the door on me. I've walked around this cell for about an hour and a half. There is just nothing.
Ex-boxer Kevin Lane was a regular visitor to the segregation unit, most often after squaring up to an officer.
Gone over there, I've chinned him, he's gone out. I've pulled his legs into the cell. The alarm goes off, they've come running in. They hit you, knock you over. They get the zip ties out, you're in locks, zip, zip, carry you. And they carried me to the block, and I spent another luxurious, lengthy time in a segregation unit. They gave me a letter to sign once, if you don't stop assaulting staff, you will remain in the SS, in the segregation. I got a big red marker pen and signed bollocks. Give it back to them. And that's because at the time there, it was violence against violence.
You're not allowed to have any of your possessions. There's no TV there. There's no, like, kettle, or there's no PowerPoints. It's just basically a bed, just like a closed, dark place. You just stay in there by yourself all day, all night. It's sort of like when your teacher tells you to go and stand in the corner and face the wall.
I ended up talking to pigeons. Liked them, little big pigeons, just feed them. They got very big. Right. I loved it in terms of you end up lighting your own company, you're not having any ag with the staff, you just get into a routine. But it is still isolation.
Incredibly, there's one part of Belmarsh that's even tougher than segregation. Belmarsh's HSU, the notorious high security unit, is Britain's most secure lockup, a prison within a prison. It was built to house the worst of the Category A's, the most violent men in the system who cannot be housed on a normal cell block. Men like Hashem Abedi, responsible for killing 22 people and injuring over 1,000 in the Manchester Arena bombing. And David Bieber, who shot PC Ian Broadhurst in the head at point-blank range. Gangland criminals like Curtis Warren, so powerful and wealthy that he could fashion an escape from any other maximum security prison.
These are very scary people. This is where, in terms of threat and risk, the soup is thickest, if you like. So it's deep custody, it's the deepest that we've got.
And it's built to protect you, the public. Because if they get out, they're not going to go straight. These are high-level criminals, these are top-level. You know, I mean, we're talking mafia and people like that, and top-level murderers or top-level hitmen.
The people who inhabit the HSU tend to be people who have been sentenced to life imprisonment, but usually with extensions. So people who have been sentenced to 25, 30, 35 years, the worst of the worst.
This is a group of hardcore villains who know the score. They're not like running around the wings like slashing people for 10 quid worth of heroin. These are geezers shipping in like 10 million tons of it.
How does the high security unit stop its ultra high risk inmates from breaking out? For starters, The block has its own perimeter wall and entrance. Convicted of a contract killing, Kevin Lane was considered so dangerous that he was held in the HSU while awaiting trial.
AAA means it's classed as exceptional risk. It means that you do not come into contact with other prisoners who are high risk, and even guards have to be selected and passed to work with you. Going up to the unit as you approach it, it's got its own fence, it's got its own concrete walls, it's got its own lights. And you think, what am I going into?
Visiting the HSU came as a shock to defence solicitor Ferdinand Achom.
You go into the prison, and then you go into another establishment, and then there's a bus that drives you to the heart of Belmarsh, which I didn't even realise existed. You can hardly take anything in there. This goes through your pens, your trousers. Even as lawyers, you really you search properly.
It's just a horrible place. It really is. It's like being in a big submarine under the ground. You know, even the exercise yard is roofed over. It's that bad. You don't hardly see daylight in there. There's cameras in the cells. Apart from where the toilet is, there's a little bit blanked out, so you can use the toilet without being on film, but you're on film basically all the time you're in there.
So you're checked every hour, three times a day, through the night, with a torch. There was times when staff would rattle the door, so they wanted to see movement.
A key role of the high security unit is to prevent crime lords continuing to run their empires from inside Belmarsh. Drugs boss Curtis Warren was jailed for 13 years over a plot to smuggle £1 million of cannabis into Jersey. He's due for release in 2022.
He's not an angel. He's not an angel by far. But one thing I'll say is, you know, he's done his sentence and he's done it properly. He's done it like a man. He could have folded and he's been away for a long time.
Some of these prisoners are the sorts of people who have imported millions of pounds worth of drugs into the country, who on the outside could potentially have massive resources. Then it is a necessity in some ways that there's a high degree of control placed over those individuals.
Control of people like Warren relies on constant surveillance. Even lawyers' meetings aren't excluded.
Belmarsh is the only prison that I go to where there's cameras even in the consultation rooms. I mean, the premise behind why they say the cameras are there is to make sure that nothing untoward happened or was being said. But we as lawyers, the last thing we want to do is interfere or tamper with the administration of justice. Of course, we want to defend our clients and help them, but I don't think we want to break the law. But then I always find it intrusive to find the camera above my head because you know you're being listened to and what you're saying is being recorded.
The point with the HSU in Belmarsh is everything is under surveillance. There's no way to communicate really from there that would not be intercepted by the authorities. So for a man like Curtis Warren, you know, he cannot communicate with the outside world. You know, with his worldwide web of criminal contacts, you know, that is almost the ultimate punishment.
HSU prisoners pose such a massive threat that even the guards treat them differently to the main prison population.
They just back off. They just give those prisoners a bit of space because they know that these guys haven't got much to lose.
Respect is the currency between staff and inmates. And the minute the respect breaks down, that's when the problems occur.
Occasionally, you'll get a prison officer who just wants to be an idiot. And this officer would be coming and he'd be doing things like taking an extra milk carton, or you're not only allowed to have one, or taking an extra pillow, or taking an extra blanket. So a group of prisoners then, they decided to basically to teach him a lesson. They grabbed the officer, they took him inside the cell. They had tuna cans, which they had put inside the socks, and they just battered him for about 10 minutes. They just battered him all over the place.
Belmarsh's high security unit, or HSU, is the most secure lockdown in the entire prison system. It's a prison within a prison with multiple walls. Officers there can never let their guard down. Hashem Abedi, the Manchester Arena bomber, is coming back from his daily exercise break. With him is Ahmed Hassan, the Parsons Green Tube bomber. Both are serving life sentences, and both have little to lose. Without warning, they run off. They attack a prison officer, assaulting him with an office chair and kicking him. The officer suffers lacerations to his scalp, a bruised back and ribcage, and lasting damage to his hearing. Belmarsh holds as many as 20 terrorists at a time. Alongside Abedi and Hassan in the HSU have been men like Michael Adebolajo, who hacked Fusilier Lee Rigby to death on a London street. Cleric Abu Hamza was held in Belmarsh for 7 years for inciting violence. He was later extradited to the US to face further terror charges. While the terrorists, considered most dangerous, are kept in the HSU, there are many accusations in the press that extremists are radicalizing other inmates in Belmarsh.
There will be an issue there with having determined, ideologically motivated offenders very close by and with access to highly vulnerable, credulous, and often violent young men who are searching for meaning.
Belmarsh has been described in the press as a jihadi training camp. But is there any truth to this?
Whether you've gone into a place like Belmarsh already radicalized, or whether you've walked in and you become radicalized, it's plain to me that this is a place where there's ample opportunity for people to target vulnerable people and convert them to an ideological cause.
One radicalized prisoner is enough to go out and, commit murder. And that's one murder too many in my book.
We're talking about prison being an environment that often has a lot of people who are difficult, damaged, maladjusted, that don't have a lot of status or confidence. And they really can be prey for people who are going to use them for really nasty and nefarious purposes.
Every prisoner presents different challenges, but with most, the ultimate goal is to prepare them for eventual release, even if that's many years in the future. But some would question if it's possible to turn a serious criminal around. Men like Usman Khan. Khan was imprisoned in 2012 for plotting Al-Qaeda-inspired terrorism offenses. He received what's called an indeterminate prison sentence. Khan was to remain in prison for as long as it was necessary to keep the public safe.
So Usman Khan participated in a program called the Healthy Identity Intervention. It's one of the prison service's flagship programs, and I'm very critical, actually, of that as a means to intervene and change people's behavior. And I think he deceived the professionals who were on that program into thinking that he had abandoned his commitment to violence when he clearly and very tragically had not.
In 2018, after 5 years in prison, Khan was released on license. Less than a year later, in November 2019, he kills two people and knifes three others near London Bridge. Police shot him dead.
People, you know, who can, if they wish to do it this way, can give you the impression that they are going to be model citizens in the future, that they no longer represent a risk to anybody at all. But how are you ever going to know for sure that you haven't had the wool pulled over your eyes?
Usman Khan puts a spotlight on a major question. Is it ever safe to release a Kate prisoner? They've been imprisoned for serious and often violent crimes. And it's a harsh reality that one in four long-term adult prisoners re-offends on release.
I think it's just the nature of that type of person that's in prison. They don't want to follow a plan, they don't want to follow rules, which is quite often why they're in prison in the first place. They want to do things their own way.
Former drug lord Andrew Pritchard is a rare success story. He's a Category A who's managed to completely reinvent himself.
Day it changed when I discovered something which just came like a bomb. It's called a conscience. Got a conscience. Every time I brought drugs into this country, Every time kids went on the street and they sold those drugs and killed each other, I was behind that. So when you start to realise you've got blood in your hands, suddenly you think to yourself, it's time you've done such changes. So my aim in life is to put back some good for some of the bad that I injected into it.
After spending almost all of his adult life in prison, former armed robber Noel Smith is now a writer.
What you have in prison is people like me and other people who finally have enough or have something that happens in their life. My son died, my 19-year-old son died while I was serving life, which changed my outlook completely and made me seek rehabilitation.
Because Belmarsh houses Category A's, the UK's most serious criminals, it has unique problems. Some inmates entirely reject any help.
Some people don't want it. Some people are quite happy to be criminals.
Being returned to Belmarsh is the biggest possible deterrent for continuing a life of crime.
Belmarsh is a completely different kettle of fish. It's different going to Belmarsh to any other prison. No matter how many times you've been there, it's still quite scary.
Belmarsh may be a frightening place, but high security prisons play an important role. There will always be dangerous criminals that society needs to be protected from.
Belmarsh is basically known to criminals as the final stop.
I mean, I was able to get through it. It's not easy, and I know a lot of prisoners, they found it very hard.
You could really sort of lose your mind in there if you're in there for too long.
Do I want to go back there? It's not the first port of call.
When you're in there, that's it. Yeah, it's not a good place to be in.